Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden on the Truth Straight Up Chuck and Julie Show.
That's right. The show brought to you by Rocky Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Denver Cenogenics, and Dr. Julie McCallan. Okay, we'll get to the Trump arrest and all kinds of stuff to let you know about that. But why don't we start off today with Taylor Rhodes from the Rocky Mountain Gun Owners Organization, and I'll let you take it away.
All right, Taylor. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I consider Rocky Mountain gun owners, and as I said before, the Republican Hispanic coalitions, the two groups that I should join.
In Colorado.
I'm going to go do that today.
You should.
I think you're both great organizations. There are almost no conservative organizations in the state. I mean, if you can go to the Independence Institute, that's really center left. You can go to a Lincoln Club, and that's just establishment, right. Advanced Colorado. You can just go down the list. All of them are either funded by Anschutz or controlled by Anschutz.
Or by people who want to be funded by Anschutz.
I want
to be funded by Anschutz, but I don't get any of that money.
Well, I don't think you have a...
Yeah, but you aren't sacrificing your principles in order to do that.
Exactly.
That's what you have to do. So I think it's just a fantastic group. Taylor succeeds Dudley Brown, who was highly effective but very controversial. But the fact that Rocky Mountain Gun Owners is virtually the only organization out there that supported conservative candidates in Weld County and other places tells you something. I mean, that's why they hate him so much. That's why the liberal media and the establishment Republican media hates Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, which is all the more reason why you should like them. And now we've got a new Republican chair, Dave Williams, who's, I know, a great admirer of yours. And I think it's a chance, really, for
partnership.
For RMGO, right, really to step back out and into the fray.
Right. Yeah, I told Dave when he was thinking about running that he was crazy to do it because, you know, you don't come out of being a party chair and liked anymore. But I'm glad that Dave won. Hopefully we can accomplish some things like closing the primary and frankly picking up on ballot harvesting that the Democrats have killed us on over the past, I don't know what, 10 years since mail-in ballots have been a thing. So yeah, very excited about Dave at the helm of the GOP. I think he'll do well over there. I have a good faith in Dave taking the reins.
Let me ask you we'll talk guns for a second and then broader, because I know, like Chuck said, you guys are involved in much more than that. But we saw at the Capitol, you know, I mean, they just shut Republicans down. They don't even want the minority to be able to talk anymore. What's coming out of there, I guess, and what do you predict for the future, and how bad is it going to be?
Right. So this legislative session in regards to guns is the worst that we've seen in over a decade, since 2013. And frankly, this session has gone even beyond of what 2013 did. I mean, we've seen bills like 3-day waiting periods, raising the age to 21 to purchase a firearm, this so-called manufacturer liability. This is an extreme example. But if I were have a gun shop and I sold you a roll pin, the smallest portion of a firearm, and that firearm was used in a crime, I could then sue the manufacturer, not only of the roll pin, but every other part that's on that weapon, including a flashlight that was literally bought at Walmart and duct taped to the end of a gun. It's absolutely crazy. Their goal is not to make people safer. Their legislation is clear that they're trying to shut down gun shops and disarm good, honest Coloradans. And go even further than that, if you look at in 2019, they passed this horrendous red flag law that's frankly been riddled with fraud. We told them that that's what's going to happen. If you believe Nine News, this is one of the few times that I do. They they put out a study that showed that 70% of red flag laws that are done by red flag orders that are done by citizens, people like you and I, those are 70% of them are fraudulent.
Right.
They have now put a bill out that was actually just passed, and it's on its way to the governor's desk, that would expand red flags. So now not only can your, you know, disgruntled spouse or ex-girlfriend or daughter that doesn't like that you're a Trump supporter, or, you know, the county sheriff's office that you've been pestering for the last 4 years, not only can those people red flag you, but now your mental health, if you have a licensed psychiatrist, that includes like religious leaders, anyone that has a license to do mental health therapy, your physician, but that's not just limited to your physician. Let's say that you break your leg and you end up in the ER and you've got, you know, Trump 2022 or Trump 2020 shirt on. Well, that person could then red flag you because you're a crazy Trump supporter.
Right.
But the most dangerous, I believe, is now your child's teacher could red flag. Yeah. And that is, I mean, we saw what was happening in Virginia. There was actually an article that I was reading right before we got on here, you know, of when all of these school boards were in cahoots with the FBI and they were claiming all of these parents were terrorists just because they wanted to see their children have a good education. And frankly, that's what we're looking down the barrel of in Colorado. But that's not all. There's more.
Yeah, there's way worse. And let's go back to, so what they're trying to do here, like you said, it's not make you safe, but say, for instance, with the teachers being able to red flag a parent, like they know anything about it. That's again, another attempt to make parents shut up, right? Because if you're a gun owner and you're thinking about going to protest the drag queen show at the kindergarten, there might be, well, now we're going to red flag you because you're crazy. I mean, and then back to the manufacturing thing. Again, I think that's not to make it so that, you know, people can get rich by suing people. That's to make it so if you want to sell guns or sell anything to do with guns in Colorado, just kind of like the oil industry, you're going to say, screw it. I'll just go to Wyoming or I'll just go to Kansas, which then makes it harder for Coloradans to purchase weapons, right?
Yeah. And the crazy thing about it is it's actually going to backfire on them, I believe, pretty heavily. So a handful of gun shops that I work with and that I talk to on a day-to-day basis are already asking me, you know, how can we get around some of this stuff? Are we going to need to start selling, you know, AR parts in cash so it can't be traced back to us? Are we going to have to start selling flashlights in cash? So if that flashlight ends up on a murder weapon, it can't be traced back to us. It's crazy that, you know, gun shops are having to have these conversations with us and their attorneys, but that's the state we're in right now. But if those don't make your blood boil, it gets worse. So there's another bill that has passed the House that's still sitting in the Senate that would allow county commissioners to ban your ability to shoot on your own private property. No, this was not peddled to us as a gun bill. Actually, it wasn't even brought up to us initially, because apparently this had nothing to do with guns. What has everything to do with guns? They were peddling it as a private property bill, that and a public safety bill. Literally one neighborhood in St. Mary's Glacier was raising Cain about this, and they brought this bill forward for that neighborhood. And this is... it's ridiculous because the way that they define a dwelling changes a little bit. And if you have more than, I believe it's 35 dwellings of 1 square mile, you could no longer be able to shoot on that property.
Well, and it gets confusing. Let me ask you about this, because I know we got Rev a BB gun for Christmas a few Christmases ago, right? And so they were going to go out, Chuck and Rev were going to go in the garage and kind of shoot at targets, right? With safety and all of that. And I said, you know, we're in Westminster. So I called the cops and I'm like, can we shoot a BB gun, you know, inside? And the cops were confused. They're like, you know, I'm not sure. They said, I don't think so. And they said, but I don't know, if a neighbor saw it, what would we do? I mean,
I followed up on it, and then they gave me the police chief's interpretation of the laws. And, you know, notwithstanding, there's no prohibition from shooting a BB gun in Westminster. They ratchet on, sort of like Bragg did, 2 or 3 ones. And they basically said, no, we'll come out and arrest you.
Seen those type of laws around the country, they're calling, the left calls them resemblance laws. Mm-hmm. So many gun owners are, if you go to Walmart or wherever, you're seeing a lot of these Glock, let's call it a Glock replica. They make them in pretty much every form or fashion, but it looks exactly like a Glock, but it's a BB gun, right? A, many times it couldn't even shoot through a drywall.
Right.
But because they have that resemblance, I believe that it was in Kentucky, there was a kid that pulled one of these resemblance guns. Actually, if you remember the shooting that happened in Texas a couple weeks ago, that the guy in the restaurant shot the guy, that was a resemblance gun. He was not carrying a real pistol. He was carrying a Glock that was supposed to look like a Glock. How stupid does that guy feel now?
Yeah.
You better come armed.
He gets a Darwin Award.
Exactly.
What's crazy, though, is, okay, so they want to be able, the left wants to be able to hold gun manufacturers, you know, say a murder occurs, right? But yet you can't hold the city officials that are the Denver School Board, for instance, that pulls all the school resource officers out of the schools and forces its teacher to pat down a dangerous student who then shoots them, right? Can't sue them, right? We can't sue, you know, Mayor Hancock. We can't sue any of these stupid things they do that make all of us, you know, the DAs and the judges that let people out on bond over and over again, they're fine, right?
It's just right. And that's one of the points that we made as this was making its way through the legislature, is every gun in Colorado that's sold today, whether I buy a 357 revolver or I buy a Barrett 50 cal, it doesn't matter what you buy. The law today says that it has to go through a background check. So what they're telling us is their background checks are not good enough. And this is ultimately a way for them to expand on these background checks. And, you know, because when these gun shops start getting sued, well, they're going to say, well, we went through the CBI's background check. And then the state's going to say, well, it's just not as, you know, as robust as we would hope. And then, of course, the Office of Gun Violence Prevention, which your tax dollars pay $3 million a year for.
Wow.
Is now going to lobby the legislature and tell them that, hey, we need to do this because this is smart and common sense.
Right.
Well, you know, the red flag law is typical of what happens in Colorado. You had Pat Neville fighting against the red flag law, going to Washington to convince Trump it was a bad idea, flies back into Colorado and sitting out in front of or the middle of the Capitol is George Brockler, the candidate for governor, or maybe he's AG then, Cole Wiss, the assistant minority leader,
Republicans
saying they support the red flag law. I mean, it's a total portrayal of the minority leader, and it's just, why do Republicans do those things?
If I had an answer of why Republicans act stupid, I mean, many of them, I genuinely believe, and I won't name names.
Please do.
Cole Wiss, Colin Larson, I won't mention ones that have passed away since, but many of these, you know, Republicans, they're not Republicans at all. Look at the way they vote. I mean, here in my district, I live in Castle Rock. Lisa Frizzell replaced Patrick Neville. She is one of the worst Republicans in the legislature.
Yeah.
And I'm strongly considering finding someone to run against her, because this is ridiculous that I'm having to sit here and I'm fighting Democrats, but I'm having to fight Republicans so they fight the Democrats with me.
Right.
Like that's not the way this is supposed to work. It's supposed to, you know, these people are supposed to be on our teams, but frankly, I think they run as an R. And they're, you know, closet Democrats. They've always been closet socialists.
And that's why I think it's good.
Well, let me ask you know, one of the results from yesterday's election down in Colorado Springs, it was Wayne Williams got in the playoff runoff with a West African immigrant entrepreneur. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to support the West African immigrant entrepreneur, having how much damage Wayne Williams has done to our election system with the Dominion voting and everything else. I mean, I think it's got to get to the point where you got to realize that moderate Republicans are not moderate Republicans. They're just traitors in our midst.
Right. Yeah. I don't know all the details of Colorado Springs. I've only followed it as much as activists have sent me emails and texts and things of that nature. But yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, Wayne is certainly no friend of the conservative movement. Yeah. Would I take him over Jenna Griswold? Probably.
By just this much.
I mean, he's only a year better, but I'd probably take him over Jenna Griswold. But I mean, he's been a nightmare on the conservative issues that we care about. And I want to wrap up the bill talk, and I know I've talked a lot about what's going on, but the Mac Daddy of them all, many people have been very concerned about this, is the assault weapons ban.
Right.
And frankly, it's because this is not your grandfather's assault weapons ban. This is not just going after AR-15s and AK-47s and the big scary guns that, you know, the left wants to consider assault weapons. This is actually going after semi-automatic shotguns, semi-automatic pistols, based on, we've had a couple of weapons experts review the bill and just kind of do a market analysis. Based on their analysis, they believe about 70% of the guns that are in circulation right now would be banned under this proposal.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it is a full-blown weapons ban. So one of the things that we've been, you know, we've been tracking this since the very beginning. I think, you know, we got the bill before, I think one of the bill sponsors in the House got the bill, which is kind of fun. But we've been tracking this from the very beginning. It's on thin ice. And we just got to keep the pressure up on the assault weapons ban. I have not said this publicly yet. I haven't thought we could kill it. I mean, they've got a supermajority in the House, one vote shy of a supermajority in the Senate. But it is on life support. It is bleeding out in the corner, and we have a real chance to kill it, but we have to keep up the pressure. So keep emailing your representatives. Keep calling them. Smoke signals, pigeons, whatever you can do.
Text, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, fax, text, whatever. If you want to get involved with us in that fight, you can go to rmgo.org/AWB. That's Alpha Whiskey Bravo, and you can submit a petition. And frankly, if it does pass, if they do decide they want to pass it, there's no stopping, right? They've got the numbers to do it. And we are preparing to sue. My promise to my members is that we will sue before the ink is dry on the paper. It will never affect any gun owner in the state.
Why do you think it's on life support? I mean, are they getting, I mean, sometimes you got to wonder, I mean, are they getting enough pushback? Is Polis worried about a presidential run that maybe they're like, hey, look, let's leave this to a different time?
Yeah. So I think it's a three factor thing. So when this was put into committee, I asked one of the sergeants how many people had signed up to testify just in opposition. He said 450. give or take, which is more than I've ever seen in my time in Colorado. Right. On top of that, I know for a fact that the committee received about 100,000 emails, not just from us, but from other gun rights groups around the country. That's just my best guess on that. And then on the petition side of things, which we're going to start to deliver in the next couple of days, our members and grassroots supporters around the state have signed about 90,000 petitions. That will deliver at our expense to these legislators. So they are feeling the heat on this bill. Right. You know, now looking back, I guess hindsight is always 2020. You know, do I think that they used this as a ploy and as the big scary gun bill so they could ram through their other four bills?
Sure.
Maybe. I think that's something that, you know, I would have probably done if I was in their shoes. So extreme. And also, I mean, if you think about their strategy, you know, the Bruin decision, which was last year, and if you have listeners that, you know, don't know what that is, it was a Supreme Court case last year. It completely changes everything in regards to the gun world. So it removed intermediate scrutiny. Now, Chuck, I'm not an attorney and I don't play one on TV. So you can correct me if I'm wrong. But the way that I understand intermediate scrutiny is that's the cost benefit analysis of a certain proposal. So let's say, this is a made up stat, but let's say 25% of mass shootings, or just shootings in general, are done by AR-15s. The judge could then say, well, an assault weapons ban banning an AR-15 is constitutional because of this interest balancing act.
Oh, okay.
So the Bruin decision, while this was not the main portion of it, really what it did is it completely whacked that. Intermediate scrutiny is no longer used. Gun laws now have to be judged on their text, history, and tradition of the Second Amendment. So we have the high grounds in the court if we sue in federal court. So if I say all this to say, if I am the left, you know, and they've seemingly done this, they pass as much crazy stuff as they can in every state that they can.
Right.
And then see what sticks, because they now have this new test that, you know, now's the time to test it. And frankly, if they can do it all at once, you know, maybe they have an assault weapons ban in a state beyond the books for 3 or 4 years, or maybe they have a, maybe they, you know, change the minds of young people because they banned, you know, sport shooting and hunting under the age of 21. And, you know, that next generation thinks of guns as taboo. So I think this is very strategic by the left. And we're here to fight them. And frankly, we're the only ones fighting them.
You are the
well. Well, if you know, just talking legal, whether it's strict scrutiny, intermediate scrutiny, or otherwise, you know, I hate to tell people, but it's all garbledygook. It's just judges throwing fairy dust up in the air and coming down any way they want to. If you say it's strict scrutiny, you know, a Judge Kane or any of the other Denver district judges go, yeah, no problem. Yeah, this is legal under a strict scrutiny test.
Yeah.
And they don't care that it logically doesn't, you know. They'll say, well, just go up to the Court of Appeals where you may get three Democratic appointees. And can you get to the Supreme Court? Who knows whether you can or not. So I don't trust, you know, that, okay, they've made it strict scrutiny. You know, they also sent Jack Phillips' case back down to what? So they could keep on harassing him. I mean, there's just very little in the law that is is based on logic or anything else. It's a lot, unfortunately, just politics, and that's
So the way it goes. We have had some early success on suing specifically on assault weapons ban. So last summer, after the Bruin decision was laid down, we sued the town of Superior, the county and city of Boulder, and the town of Louisville. And an Obama-appointed judge ruled, federal judge ruled in our favor, and then a Biden-appointed judge, who's Charlotte Sweeney, who, if you've read any of her her decisions, it's like reading a page out of Karl Marx.
Yeah, it's
nuts. But even she ruled in our favor. So,
wow.
Yeah, so I really think we have the high ground to win.
Well, and here's why you guys are so important, and not just because of the gun owner step, but again, an actual real conservative organization and lobby organization in Colorado.
Well, it's not lobbying. They help with elections, and that's the most important thing.
Right.
It's you know, if you want to go and you're a conservative candidate, one of the few places you might get some money is Rocky Mountain Gun Owners.
Right.
And anywhere else, you know, you can forget about it.
But what I was going to say, though, is why you guys are so important is I think we got to remember the big giant picture here. And that is they don't actually, I don't think, care all that much about guns and this little piece of a gun or that one gun. What they want to do, just like, you know, they want to silence us. They want to crush us. They want to stop anybody who questions their dissent. And I think, I never used to think this, but I, you know, and Chuck would say it. He's like, you know, they want to take our guns because they don't want us to fight back. And it'd be like, no, they don't do that. But I do now, because it's like, they don't want anyone anywhere to have any means, either through free speech, through any of the, you know, actual portions of the Constitution, the amendments, to have any means to question them or fight back. And that in the end is what this is all about, I think.
Right. And we're seeing, so I saw this video on, I think it was on Instagram, yesterday. And there was this lady, she was a UK citizen, and she's talking about all their electricity crisis that they're having right now, where these electric companies are literally breaking in the homes of people to adjust their meters. And she's like, this would never happen in the US because most homes in the US have at least some type of firearm. And it's, you know, even if it's just the tyranny of an electric company, that's tyranny. Right. I mean, you're talking about an oppressive, you know, power over you. And, you know, if, whether that be the electric company or your local government or the state government or the feds, the Second Amendment was put in place to protect the rest. And frankly, guns are the only reason America is still free.
Yeah, yep. I agree. Now, let's turn to just a campaign.
Yeah, we have a few more minutes. So.
Yeah. Campaign tactics. I've written an editorial. Maybe I'll send it to you.
Sure.
It goes over the 20-year push from 2002 to 2022 on changing every aspect of elections, all of which in the Democrats' favor, all against Republicans, from finance to ballot harvesting. And I have the ignominy, maybe the word, of inventing ballot harvesting in the 2002 election when they when the
in Glendale
when Danetta Davidson said you didn't have any reason why you didn't want to do have vote an absentee vote. You could, any reason would do,
for an absentee ballot.
Well, great. We'll just get everybody to put them in. We'll go to the ballots when they get them and harvest them all. And of course, we crushed our opponents. And I've proved time and time again, if one side ballot harvests and the other side doesn't, they're going to get crushed.
Right. And
convince people of that. I'm just, you know, godsmacked. I'm godsmacked when I talk to them. I was godsmacked to talk to some groups going around that are very conservative, say, vote, everybody vote on election day. And you kind of go, yeah, if you want to lose, everybody.
Right.
You
can't, exactly.
You can't get out the vote when you only have a couple hours to do it, as opposed to 3 weeks to do it. You can't get it out. Your turnout is going to be less because things happen. And moreover, the Democrats, we saw in Adams County, they went to the voting centers and stayed in the booth for an hour. Saying, hey, we'll just slow everything down. They'll do anything. But for 20 years, there's been Republicans who have constantly fought with the Democrats to destroy the Republican Party. And it's just amazing to me that we allow it, that we allow these people who really are the traitors from within. And you know, I've known Ken Buck for a long time, always liked Ken Buck. But for the chairman of the Republican Party and congressman to say, our elections are the gold standard for the country, when it all is a rigged process that they've been rigging for 20 years, it's just mind-boggling.
Sure. Yeah, you know, one of the my first mentors in politics used to always tell me, vote early, vote often, what the Democrats do. And, you know, that has a true sentiment to us. And, you know, I kind of go back and forth on the election stuff and what I believe and what I don't, when I look at the numbers and when ultimately, you know, one of the things that we can see and that we know without doubt is that Democrats are whooping us in ballot harvesting. So, you know, if I had any advice for Dave on his chair position and anything that I could help him with, is we got to have teams out there just like the Democrats do. Heck, I lived in downtown Denver. And they had a team of, it had to have been 100 people. They were going through and knocking on doors in apartment complex saying, hey, I noticed you haven't turned in your ballot. I can take it there with me. I can take up to 10. And that's what they were doing. They had enough people there that they were going to every single person. And most of the people in my apartment complex, because I just stopped the guy and asked because I'm nosy. He's like, oh, yeah, most people are unaffiliated. So they get both. And, you know, we just take the Democrat ballot and we fill it in for them and we sign the signature and we go on our way. Like, okay, that's
there you go.
I can tell you, to do a good ballot harvesting job is incredibly work intensive.
Right. It takes
people,
money.
Yeah. Lots of money. And the Democrats have a huge edge in the sense that, you know, if you go to an apartment house in downtown, you can get 600 units in a few hours, maybe. If you're out in the ranch country, you know, you're likely to get shot by the third ranch you stop by. So it's a huge advantage. You know, one of the things, if I had to advise them, I said, look, you have to have studies done that prove how much fraudulent things are done under ballot harvesting in order to put it on the ballot to get rid of ballot harvesting.
Yeah, sooner or later you had that.
But until you do that, you've got to do the best you can. Up here in the 8th Congressional District, if we'd ballot harvested, we would have won. Now we would have won with Barb Kirkmeyer, who's an awful human being, but we would have won. But no, they said, let's have everybody vote on election day, and they lost by 1%. It's just hard for me to quite understand how dumb the Republican operatives are.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, you know, after the Trump election, you know, everybody wants to vote on election day, but that's not how you win in Colorado. It's just not. So,
well, listen, Taylor, I promise that you go, and I know, because I know you were saying you've been great.
You can probably hear my voice going already.
Yeah, you had, and I had that just the other day, so I know how you feel. No, you did a great job, Taylor Rhodes, Rocky Mountain.
Well, if people want to join, how do they do it?
Yeah. So if you want to get involved on the assault weapons ban fight, go to rmgo.org/AWB. You'll sign a petition. As soon as it goes past that petition, you'll see a donate page. I need you to donate, whether it's 10 cents or $10 million. If you have $10 million and you're a listener and you know Chuck or Julie, call them, get my phone number, we'll go to lunch.
It'll be all right.
But in all seriousness, that's all earmarked for our legal fund. We think that our lawsuits are going to take about $1 million a piece to do, just based on everything that we're looking at right now. So it is a very expensive process, but we want to fight for you, and I promise you that we will. If you just want to join and become an average member, go to armgo.org. Top right corner, you'll see a join button. You can join to become a member for just $30 a year.
All right.
That's a great
thing. Taylor, thank you so much.
We appreciate it, Taylor.
Yeah, thank you all so much for having me.
All right. Take care. All right. Taylor Rhodes, RMGO.org. He was great. You know,
and Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. They're vilified, of course, by every left wing group. Yeah.
Guys, from Leo, Chuck, how does Stormy. Oh, Daniel stand on 2A ride. She bought two big guns. That we want to talk about that. Did you see yesterday? Actually, Stormy Daniels was ordered to pay Trump $121,000. So
she already owes him like $200,000.
So I think that the whole situation yesterday, we were talking about this, and you know, the overriding sense I came from it was, number one, they managed to do what no one has been able to do, and that is unite the Republican Party, right? Even Mitt Romney was kind of saying, well, they shouldn't have done that. John Bolton was like, well, it was weaker than I thought. I mean, this attack on Trump, this corrupt case, and we can get into, you know, it's groundless, but the overall bigger picture, I think, is it's united Republicans in a way they've never been united before behind Trump. And then watching last night, it just seemed to me that, you know, at Mar-a-Lago, I thought the speech was great. And you guys go ahead and comment on what you thought. And it was just a campaign speech, right? They gave him an opportunity to do a campaign speech. CNN carried it. And then in the meantime, they're energized. They're, ready for action. There. I think all of the people at Mar-a-Lago, watching Fox, Republicans are energized. Rachel Maddow was crabby, saying that they didn't put stuff that wasn't true on the air, so they weren't going to carry Trump's remarks. Like, oh, that's a joke. I mean, so you know who won yesterday in the overall scheme of things, right? When Republicans are energized and happy and smiling, and Rachel Maddow was crabby-faced, you know, you'd think they would have been ecstatic, but they were not at all. They were depressed, I think.
Well, who knows? I mean, it just shows you we don't have a democracy, and we haven't had for quite some time, and we all just found it out after we elected a president, and Comey and the CIA and the State Department said, no, you don't get that president. We'll make sure that we get him. They didn't quite get him, but they're terrified that he'd run again, and their cheating would have to go to a new level, and it will. I mean, and they don't even have to cheat. They just have to interpret laws in a way that allows them to run their own election ones, in which they register every Democratic soul in the world and a few more, and then get them all to vote or vote for them.
Well, I think what's going to happen is, you know, again, we could talk a little bit about, you know, apparently, so in order to make things a felony, all of this paperwork stuff where the statute of limitations is passed, he has to accuse Trump of doing it in the furtherance of another crime, but he didn't name the other crime, largely because there isn't one. And you'd think, I mean, will it be thrown out? But here's the thing too, and you're right. So on one hand, being happy that Trump was energized, I thought that was a great speech he gave. And I think it allowed him to make, I mean, it makes it, how to say it, just about everybody is unified. Even the Democrats acknowledge that this is a bogus and a politically motivated thing.
And they don't care.
And that's a thing I think we have to remember and be worried about and be on guard about, be on the lookout for. And that is, they know that it's fake. They know that there's nothing behind it, and they don't care. And the judges don't care. No. They're going to allow it to go forward. And then I bet you they're going to do the same thing they did to Tina Peters here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. They filed completely bogus. They stacked it, right? So every time Tina called to ask about, can we have somebody come in and watch, they piled another charge on it, just like Trump. Anytime the paperwork, it's the same thing, but anytime it was on a different piece of paper or on a different payment day, they added an additional charge. So the whole thing was bogus, but then Tina Peters was just convicted. She was acquitted on one and convicted on the other of a crime when the cops came to arrest her on the bogus charge.
Yeah.
They said, well, she wouldn't give us her password to her cell phone, right? So she's convicted on that. So that would have never occurred. And then she's also accused of taping the recordings, right? None of those things would have occurred if she weren't fake charge in the first place. And I think that's what they're going to do to Trump. I said this on Monday. They didn't put the gag order on him, but I bet they're going to. And then anytime he opens his mouth, that's going to be a contempt of court thing.
Well, you know, Ned Ryan of American Majority is absolutely correct. The only way to stop this is immediately in Texas and Alabama and Mississippi and Florida to bring charges against Soros, bring charges against Hunter Biden, bring charges against Hillary, bring charges against anybody.
Right.
And you know, just it is not going to work just to have Trump eventually not going to jail.
It's going to stop.
No.
I mean, he laid out clearly, and I think it was good on his part because he laid out all the other things going on against him. So the theory being, okay, well, if those are completely bogus, if this one's bogus, those are bogus too, which they are. But they don't care. And I think that's a thing we have to remember. And that is, you know, like I said, look what they did to Tina Peters. Look what they did to General Flynn. Look what they did to Roger Stone. Look what they did to all those people on January 6th, right?
Look what they did to the parents.
Look what they did to the parents.
Go to school board meetings. Right. I mean, I'm not really sure how you stop this because when the opposite side is unprincipled and utterly evil, there's no way you can just rationally say, oh, okay, well, you know, let's agree to this and agree to that. The Democratic Party and its minions are evil. They're evil people, and they will destroy your child.
Hello?
And they will destroy your country.
Is that Jacob?
That's me. I heard two great things. One last night is that with Trump doing his thing, whatever's going on with him, he's sucking all the air out of there, out of the election. And that means DeSantis and whoever else is going to run on the Republican side is not going to have any room to speak.
No.
And Coulter today. Ann Coulter today also said something intelligent.
That new for her for a while.
That they want Trump. They want to go after Trump, A, because of all the air out of the room. But secondly, now all the networks are going to report on is Trump, Trump, Trump. They're not going to report on a bad border. They're not going to report on a bad economy. They're not going to do money. They're just going to say Trump, Trump, Trump. So when it comes down to the voting, everybody says, well, you know, maybe the economy's not so bad because he'll make it worse because he's a crook and he's, you know, so on and so forth.
No, I think that's true. I think that is one thing. If you're Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence, Asa Hutchinson, you're kind of depressed right now because you're like, I want to talk. And they're like, yeah, no, we don't want to. What do you think about Trump? Right. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I always feel bad for golfers because this is Masters Week. Right. And they get these guys in and they just won or they had a great round and they want to ask him how Tiger Woods is doing. You know what I mean? It'd be like,
what do you think Tiger did?
It's like, well, can't we talk about me? Hey, but Jake, you probably got you because I know you're a Denverite. Denver voters did not go completely insane, it seems to me.
Wait a minute. How many Denver voters voted yesterday? What was the final tally?
I think they figured about 33%. But it looks I don't think so either. No, that's just what they were saying. But I think
it was 20%.
Okay, Mike Johnson and Kelly Brook, though, and it looks like Candy C. DeBaca may have to be in a runoff. They killed the Park Hill thing. I mean,
that's the greatest thing. I mean, with the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, we've been fighting the Park Hill heist for, I don't know, 10 years now. And this was great. I mean, 60-40, and they got, you know, Habitat for Humanity, every corrupt liberal group they paid money to.
Yeah, the progressives didn't have a good night. So what do you think?
I think only about 20% voted. I also wrote on your little chat thing there that anybody who did not vote in 2020, 2022, or yesterday should be dropped from the voter rolls.
Yeah.
And because they're not there. And the third thing is, I think maybe we'll see a little bit higher turnout in the runoff.
That could be too.
You often don't.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
often do not because
people say, didn't we already vote?
No, they all go out, my candidate lost, so I don't care.
Oh, okay.
And there's not as many. They're only the ones in which, you know, the two candidates didn't make 50%. Yeah. So it's even less normally.
So my final question is, well, where was the ballot harvesting? I mean, if only 20% voted.
Yeah.
where's the ballot harvesting?
Because there are no Republicans, or at least there was one, but they didn't bother. I really wondered whether the Working Families Party, which is a communist,
were they going to do that or not?
Were they
clearly not.
No, clearly not.
Hey, Jacob, listen, thank you for chiming in. We appreciate it.
Gotta go. All right, thanks. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Anyone else wants to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do so. While we do this, though, I want to play back to the kind of the whole Trump thing. Once again, Rush Limbaugh predicted all of this. We talked about that. He predicted that they were getting tired of elections, but he had predicted earlier that they were going to indict Trump as well. And if we could please play the Limbaugh soundbite.
I know they desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again, which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump.
I mean, that's what people always said, too. I mean, there's been so many, you guys have so many great comments there. Let's see. Dr. Don, I think the dead voter rolls may be where our past party county chair kept saying, oh, this is about that. If we could only get 15,000 Republicans to vote, that may not have been. They do not exist. And yeah, Ms. Rush Limbaugh, I think so, too. You know, I think, though, it's, you know, going to be tricky to see what happens with Ron DeSantis. But again, I think Trump is
he's plummeting in the polls. They had one, which polling into Texas, and in November they showed DeSantis ahead by 1 point, and the same poll now shows him down by 30 points to Trump. And that's really where it's going. I mean, it's going to be
it's a long time, but it's going to be,
but it doesn't matter the whole time, because it's the same story we've heard, that they're not interested in honesty, integrity, real law. They're not interested. They're just corrupt, amoral degenerates. And they will do anything. And you know, it's interesting. One of the Trump rallies where Trump, told the crowd, go out and get your shot and stuff, and they booed him.
Right.
And he, what are you, booing
me? That's your question. Right.
Kind of like, no, we're for you when you're for us. We're not for you when you're not for us. We don't care if you had an affair with Stormy Daniels.
Or didn't. You keep saying he denies that, by the way, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't care one way. And that's, you know, the Democrats have always gotten to so they can say, well, we don't care what our candidates do. But you Republicans,
you need to care. Yeah, every time. People fall in and say, well, we're worried about his character. It's like, what? I, you know, like the Bidens? You know,
luckily you have the Bidens to follow.
If we're worried about character. But I think, you know, to Jacob's point, you know, and I think there's something to that, that they want to make it all about Trump. And so there's, you know, just don't pay attention to the disaster that the country's been. But I thought, again, Trump did a good job yesterday of kind of weaving in sort of his defense and his, you know, claim, pointing out that all the other things that were coming at him legally were going to be bogus too, but also with a campaign speech. And I think he's smart and he's going to be able, I think, because they're going to keep talking to him and he's going to be able to talk and they're going to keep carrying stuff, hoping that they can catch him, you know, violating a gag order or doing something the judge didn't want her to do. And he's going to be weaving in and out all, I think, of his campaign stuff. So he can point out in that, like he did yesterday, how awful. He's like, the country's going to hell, right?
Leo says, Masters Week, pimento sandwiches for Party Friday. Absolutely. Absolutely. I went down there in 2009, just after I met Julie. And had the best time of my life down there.
Pimento sandwich sounds good.
It's good. Anything the Masters has is good. Yeah. Pimento sandwiches may not sound good. It is good.
Hey, and here, though, this is kind of funny. Speaking of all the other charges, the Babylon Bee had a pretty funny thing on new additional charges coming down against Trump.
Oh, yeah.
So, Thomas, if we could please play the Babylon Bee soundbite.
For instance, Bragg provided the court with distinct photographic evidence from 1992, where Trump once entered a crosswalk while the countdown was all the way down to 4. Insidious.
Ignoring the FBI warning, Trump made a bootleg VHS copy of Home Alone 2 so he could watch himself over and over again. Pure evil.
Trump broke all 50 of the craziest U.S. state laws, including Connecticut, where he sold a pickle that didn't bounce, and Pennsylvania, where he ate peanuts while walking backwards in front of Barnstormer's auditorium, get this, while a performance was underway. The unmitigated gall.
And in 1997, Trump tore the tag off a mattress, despite the explicit warning that it was illegal to do so.
Why is it illegal to tear?
Because somebody decided it should be.
Yes, from Barney, that was awesome hearing from Rush. You know, Chuck, you have said this before that Rush was like a Democrat whisperer. He called a lot of things because he just saw. And I think that's what we have to be careful too. On one hand, yes, what's happening and Trump's response was energizing, but they're not going to stop, and they're not going to stop at him. Again, I think a message to us is if they could do this, come up with these completely bogus charges that they all know. I mean, even the left admits are not good charges, have no basis, and they don't care. And they're doing it anyway. And they're talking about he could go to jail for 136 years. I mean, we've seen it do it to some regular people, but they can, I think, and will. I think, well, let me put it this way. There's no reason to think they won't continue doing that to everybody else, too, don't you think?
No, they're fine. I mean, what's happened on the January 6th defendants, why would anyone applaud that? And much less Republicans and say, oh, those people are terrible. Grandma walked through the Capitol. I mean, it just shows you how awful the Republican establishment. There is no Trump and anti-Trump. There's Trump and a bunch of traitors.
Right. Well, this is from Charlene Ha. That mattress tag thing always worried me. How would they know? Oh, that's why they have Alexa. Jim Jackson says, "Char your FBI." No way, Charlene. You're going to be in there in Alexa, or you know, maybe you have one of those little robot kind of vacuum cleaners that goes under your bed, and it's going to go ahead and say it's going to alert the FBI that Charlene has taken the tag off of that. Oh, this FBI calling Chuck. You know, that whole AI chat thing too, or the whole AI thing, we've got to get under control too and do a show on. That's another thing. Turn your phone off. That's the FBI. But even back in the 1970s, well, Charlene, I don't know. Maybe there's probably some kind of digital tracking that they do, a Ring doorbell or something like that. I don't know. But the Trump thing, it'll be interesting to see going forward, Trump's attorneys, we're going to start challenging it on any number of grounds. Do you think they will be successful at any level?
No, not with this judge. I mean, this judge, Trump pointed out, bullied an executive saying, I'll give you 90 days. Yeah. Or if you go to Trump.
A Trump executive in one of the other cases said, if you turn on Trump, you either go to jail forever. Well, it was a Michael Flynn thing, right? You either talk to us or we're going to send your son to jail.
No, this is a different one. This is one where the judge said, you either plead guilty now.
Okay.
There's a difference between the DA saying, you know, it's a judge saying, either you plead guilty to these charges, or if you go to trial and are found guilty, I'll send you to 10 years in prison. The guy was 85 years old. So he pled guilty and then got no days in jail, but the judge got what he wanted, which was a guilty verdict. So the legal system has been perverted by Democrats.
Well, which Trump pointed out. And I think, the one hope we have is that people, and we've talked about this before, but more and more people are seeing it. And I think, you know, to Jacob's concern that they're going to distract us, it's getting harder and harder to distract us. I mean, you know, you just look at your utility bill and Saudi Arabia is like, oh, things are going so great for Joe Biden, you know, not increasing the United States, you know, I guess surplus. So we're going to go ahead and decrease our oil production. So gas prices are going to go on up too. You know what they saw? The labor force was like, they added way fewer jobs. And they try to say, well, that's good because that'll slow inflation. It's like, yeah, unless you happen to be looking for a job, then it's not such a good thing, right?
Yeah, this last election, there were some positive signs. I know that Denver is positive, as much as you get in Denver. Other places were not. Chicago, Johnson won, and that will be a destruction of that city.
Right.
Because the progressives destroy everything. I mean, progress to anarchy. Wisconsin Supreme Court judge, Democrat won, from Republican majority to Democrat majority, and that will destroy
Wisconsin. I think an overall bad sign for Wisconsin, too, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, that's what
I was reading, that it's like that they have the Democrats really up their election game.
And conservatives, there are no Republicans who went to Wisconsin to help him.
Ron McDaniels, wasn't she there?
and they outspent Republicans 10-1 or some huge number. But, you know, you're never going to win them all. So I was glad that Denver decided not to destroy itself and not destroy a one of the few parks it has left. It's not its park as West Side Investment. It's our land. Well, we bought it from Denver, and we're fencing it, and we're not going to lie on it.
That's right. It's a park. We hate parks. Denver has, right? People think Denver likes parks, but they don't. Well, but there was some truth. I mean, some hope in that, right? Denver did not go full bore progressive on that. In fact, they elected, I mean, even the Republic, as I said, outperformed, right? Got 13% of the vote compared to the registered 9% Republicans in Denver. So right. Somebody swooped over there.
Ran a pretty good campaign.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap it up for us on Party Friday. Pimento
Yay!
Sandwiches.
Pimento sandwiches.
What's the drink of the masters?
I don't know, but I always
not over, Wiser.
No tranny drinks. but we may go for mint juleps.
Oh, I got the Kentucky Derby coming up. Yeah, I don't really like mint juleps there.
Oh, come on.
So we had Wayne Allen Root on the other day. He wrote that book, The Great American Boycott, talking about things that you can do, little things, big things that we can all do to fight back. And he mentioned he had a co-author. So we kind of ran out of time talking with him. So we have the co-author on Friday, too. So we'll see you all on Party Friday. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye-bye, everybody.